Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is officially training camp week in the NFL, guys. And of course, we've got a couple of storylines developing with rookies because Trey Lance of the 49ers and Zach Wilson of the New York Jets have not signed their contracts. They are not there at camp as their teams get ready to prepare for the upcoming season.
Troy Polamalu plays like Adams, by the way, to Brady.
Yeah.
We were clear on that one because I didn't get a chance when we were going into break.
Yeah. So let's call him on.
I understand.
You can play on the ball or be a stronger type of safety. It's just you got to have a safety.
Sure.
My thing is this.
I don't think Tampa Bay had that last year. You could probably comb through the years and find other examples. I'm just saying you just have to be a difference maker. I don't care if you're a linebacker, safety, interior D lineman. We don't give like Aaron Donald enough credit for how good of a pass rusher he is. You just have to have a guy that's a absolute stud. Because right now, as far as going for a new contract, if you're not a cornerback or an edge rusher, it's usually not going to warrant a higher compensation or I should say resetting the market at that position.
I would agree with that. But he is a game-changing safety.
For sure. That's what I'm saying. He can reset the market at his position or should be able to. Again, he led the team in sacks. Like, if that's not like a case of all the different things he can impact your team, I don't know what is. Maybe that's more of an indictment on the Seahawks pass rush. But
when you think about guys like John Lynch was the same way. He was on the ball. He was a thumper and stuff like that. It's just from my knowledge of how defenses work, you got to have a guy who can keep the secondary intact and on the string, and you got to have a guy in the front that can keep guys on the string. So that's going to generally be your middle backer, and it's going to be one of your safeties. Whether a big name, I name big names, but whether a big name or not, you got to have a guy who's going to keep both levels of the defense on a string. And generally the brain of those two operations fall on the middle backer and your safety. That's probably how I really wanted to state it in the heat of the conversation. So wow.
Doesn't always have to be about defensive arm.
I just thought I do love defense.
I do too.
You got to have defense in order to love the offense.
I agree. I'd rather see a 9-6 game than what we saw on Monday night between the Rams and the.
I do hate that lazy narrative though of like the whole 9-6 or 6-9.
It was a horrible game.
Yeah, the horrible game where they're like, "Oh, it's bad offense." It's like, no, maybe it's just great defense. Like I hate that.
I felt that way about this year's Super Bowl. You know, I felt that way about a lot of, and this might be kind of funny because it's connected to New England and Tom Brady. I've liked the way defenses have always played on Tom Brady's championship teams. I like the defenses better than the offenses on the teams that beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Defense is like the heartbeat of America. Defense is like a Corvette. It's like American power. You know what I mean? Like that's what I like.
I mean, listen, if
I chose defense.
Had the 49ers defense not fallen apart, Jimmy Garoppolo would have won a ring.
That's correct. Yeah. But that was offense overcame defense. Yeah. That's what makes it beautiful, though. You know what I mean? Because they had every opportunity. Like, you think about that 2000 Ravens defense or the 85 Bears defense. You know,
it's like,
yeah, man. I mean, when you see magic on the defensive side of the ball, I tend to think that it's much more artistic. It's much more fun to watch than, I mean, there are some offenses. Like, I love The Greatest Show on Turf with Kurt Warner and those guys, like, you know, Torrey Holden, Isaac Bruce and Ozzie Hakeem and Ricky Prohl and all those, and Marshall Faulk, of course. When you get one of those type of offenses, that's just, you're talking pure artistry on the field. But when you get a really, really dope defense, that's just to me. Like, and I'm from Pittsburgh, so you gotta understand. I have really been brainwashed to think that defense comes first.
Yeah,
I was a tailback. I was a tailback in high school. I ran for over 4,000 yards in quad A. I was a tailback. I was recruited to be a tailback. I wanted to be a linebacker. That's why I went to school for – I mean, I went to Penn State because I wanted to be a linebacker.
You wanted to violently
I wanted to be the hunter,
somebody.
Not the hunted.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
That's – yeah.
I just wanted to not get killed.
I painted my face like Latimer all the time.
Did you
like,
really from
yeah,
the program?
I really did.
All right.
It made me – like it got my eyes one game and it didn't work out well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and then, so it's not like the movies. Like in real life, Brady, when it gets in your eyes,
you
bad.
You were an eye black guy. Did it ever get in your eyes? Did it ever get
no,
the,
no, not as a quarterback. We don't really do –
they don't really
much,
sweat too much.
Yeah.
Know?
We yeah. don't – we got a lot of towels around us and stuff. You know, we wear a towel.
What is the point of the eye black? I mean, seriously. Is it to keep sun out of your eyes? What
I think it's
it?
Supposed to, yeah, with the glare or something like that. I just think it looks cool. It's almost like putting on some battle paint or something, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. Let's be real. I'm not sure it does anything. It just looks cool.
It does right? look good.
Yeah. I mean, it's so
it does look good. And if it's eye black, when you're darker complected like I am, why use eye black? You know what I mean? I'm
well,
already
mean,
dark enough.
What do you mean, LeVar? What do you mean by that?
I'm already dark enough. It's not going to bounce off me the same way that it's going to bounce off for you and Brady, you know what I mean?
Well,
it's just going to be different. So I mean, why do I need it?
Well, how do you know?
But I use it.
Listen, it's radio. You don't know how to look like a
Well,
bar.
They say you can't wear white on television because the light bounces, it blasts off of you. You know, that's just kind of just, you know, how it's always
there
been.
There he is
you
again.
Know?
You hear that,
sorry.
Brady?
Yeah,
just
sorry.
Flexing his TV muscles there. No. Yeah, I guess you're doing TV this
oh,
week.
Please.
Yeah,
please.
It's unbelievable.
You can't use that reference for radio. You know what I mean?
It's Fox Sports Arrington. This
oh
week.
My
I mean,
here
it's on
go.
TV, it's radio,
here we go.
It's every like Fox right. Sports LeVar. Unbelievable.
Let me stop. Let me stop.
Fox Sports.
I tried out. That was very unsportsmanlike of
you,
Jonas.
Dude, I can't believe you. Man. I mean, my All God, right. Slumming it with us radio guys. But no, so we've got this situation, though, in the end, because we talked about the Jamal Adams. You know, he wants a new contract in Seattle, and he did show up there, so maybe he'll get it done. And then you got the situation involving Zach Wilson and Trey Lance. So these are the guys that went 2 and 3 in the draft, the quarterbacks for the Jets, the quarterback for the Niners, the quarterback of the future, and they are not yet at camp and not yet signed, which brings up the question, why the hell not? I thought this was figured out years ago when they changed the rookie pay scale, Brady.
Yeah.
Well, there's only two things you negotiate now. And that is offset language, right? In the event that the team that drafts the player, you know, he moves on somewhere else, you trade him and all that, and they'd like to have pre-negotiated who's on the hook for the amount of money that's owed to that player in his contract, right? That's one of the things that they're going to negotiate. And that's kind of a moot point, but I'll get to that. And then the signing bonus, and really it's about the timing of the signing bonuses. Because you've got some teams that are kind of cheap, and they'll be like, yeah, we're not going to give the signing bonus all up front. You know, we want to push it to next year. We'll give part now, part later. And the reason being is, you know, when you're talking about big signing bonuses and millions of dollars, there's a thing called interest. And so if it stays with the team longer, it earns interest on that money. And so they're able to make a little bit off of it as opposed to giving it to the player all up front where he gets it. They can't earn any interest off it. So that's how this typically works. So here's the thing. With the Jets and Zach Wilson, I don't know what the hell's going on, okay?
It's weird.
Given where you drafted him and given what you have behind him, right? It's James Morgan and Mike White. He is your only option. Like they don't have another option. I would say, okay, I'm willing to concede on the offsets, whatever you want, and then I'm willing to concede on the timing of the signing bonus. Now, you know, a reasonable person might say, well, that's a bad precedent to set, right? Once you do it with one player, every agent, every player is going to want it. But the truth of the matter is, you don't have another option at quarterback. So what are you going to do? Are you going to let this guy sit out the next week or 2 weeks? I mean, his agent is the same as Joey Bosa's. And that agent held Bosa from signing a contract with the Chargers until like the end of August. And so I can't see that happening. But the reality is, there is no other option in New York. If one side's going to concede it to me, it should be the player side. It should be the team side, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh figuring this out sooner rather than later. Now, with Trey Lance, it's a little different because you've got Jimmy Garoppolo. Kyle Shanahan has openly said, hey, we're going to start Jimmy. Like, he's taking all the first-team reps. So the truth of the matter is there's no rush to get Trey in. And I think they're looking at it as a leverage point, too, with his agent saying to him, look, we've got a guy we feel good about this year. Like, if you want to sit out for a month, so be it. But it's only going to hurt Trey Lance's development, not being there for preseason games, etc. So they're going to be able to push those buttons a little more of Trey Lance and his representation as far as what they want out of the contract, more so than the Jets. Like, the Jets don't have any leverage. Like there's no – maybe they'll sign Blake Bortles. He's a free agent now. Hmm. You know, bring in at least another veteran or something. But, you know, it's two a little bit different scenarios in my mind, because one guy's going to start day one, or should, in Zach Wilson, and the other one, I don't know when Trey Lance will get his opportunity this year, if he gets an opportunity.
I just don't think there is – for either situation, there's no reason – good enough for them not to be in camp on time. Like, there just isn't. And all of those things are sensible explanations, and I think that was very well, and you know, the way you laid it out. But let's be clear here. It's for Zach Wilson, for certain, being in the market. Well, both of these markets are really, really big media markets, for one.
Right.
But the New York Jets are so maligned right now. They need wins. They need wins. They need every win that they could possibly get. Having Zach Wilson out of camp right now is not a win. It's not a feel-good story. And so not only are you continuing to keep negative headlines coming towards you as a team and an organization, but now this is how you are going to negotiate and get him off to his start in his career. I was a guy, and I never say holdouts. Like you can't say a guy is holding out until he's signed his contract. For the record, you're not an official employee until you have signed the contract. So in theory, you don't even have a job yet until you sign your contract. So this guy, these young men are waiting to be hired, basically, to solidify their deal that makes them a part of the team. It impacted the way I was viewed. It impacted the way I was treated. It impacted a lot of things because I was not in camp on time. And when you're coming out, you trust your agents to make the right decisions for you. And that was during a time where you still could negotiate really good contracts. Like, it wasn't slated. Like, so to me, the slotted idea and approach to how contracts are done, if you are going back and forth on the language, he should be in camp. They should be in camp. I don't care if he's going to be the franchise face today, or you have a starter that's going to be the starter. You spent a high draft pick on these guys. Get them in camp on time. Like, that's a bad look in my opinion. Bad look.
It's Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on FSR. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up next, there also is another puzzling situation in the NFL involving a quarterback. We will get the very latest on what happens next. That's yours next here. It's Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
I'm already dark enough. It's not going to bounce off me the same way that it's going to bounce off of you and Brady. You know what I mean? Well, it's just going to be different. So why do I need it?
Well, how do you know?
But I use it.
Listen, it's radio. You don't know how to look like
LeVar. Well, they say you can't wear white on television because the light blasts off of you.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, that's true.
It's a little reckless. Brady, you believe that? LeVar?
It's the truth.
LeVar, no, he's right. He's right. There's an idea of a floating head syndrome. Like, if you
yes,
wear.
This is true.
Like, the backdrop can make it look like your head's floating if yeah. you're in, like, an all-white shirt or something like that.
That's correct.
I've heard that before.
By the way, this song sucks, man. This Michael Jackson song is brutal.
It's kind of funny.
I mean
the way you brought us in with the sound, man. And with Michael Jackson singing Black or White, I liked it.
Yeah.
And we have a black and white audience, and we also have a brown audience. And,
damn
know,
right.
We have all shades.
I'm wearing
know?
A Mexico hat right now. How about that?
I just love everyone.
It.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I do too.
I was just really talking about iBlack and not, you know, being off if you ever get your. Like, if you guys are doing your own social media videos, don't wear white.
Yeah.
That's also, all. I'm just trying to help you out.
Isn't it green, too, in front of a green screen?
Well, then you're literally invisible.
Yeah.
If you're in front of a green screen. Yeah.
How many people have a green screen, Jonas?
Well, I'm just saying. Listen, like, you guys don't do TV. You don't get the game. Let me go ahead and walk you through this. Let me quarterback this whole thing. All right. Uh-oh. So when you do TV.
You know what's funny, by the way, about Jonas's his social media posting and TV is even when he's on, if he's behind a green screen or not, you still can't see his calves.
Yeah.
His calves. Disappear one way or another.
It is absolutely true. I have not tried to deny that.
I have little legs, too, man.
Yeah, I wear my foot. Yeah, Brady likes to rub it in because he's got calves.
Yeah,
you
know, I actually don't. Legs, like, that's the funny thing is I really don't, but sure.
Yeah, listen. Look, but
I've been accused of having bird legs. So
that's all right. And there's, you know what the problem is with having small calves? There's nothing you can do about it. Mm. Like, you can work them as much as possible. There's nothing you can do. No, it's not happening.
You can get implants. There's that guy. That guy, it was like, wasn't it like MTV Perfect Body? He got calf implants.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that serious. I hope not.
Yeah. No.
Come on, Jonas.
Let's
just be skinny leg.
Yeah, listen, I'm into it. I did a couple of flamingos doing sports talk radio together. Okay. There's nothing wrong
Jonas
with that.
Jonas doesn't have any shorts, though. LeVar, do you have shorts? Because Jonas just has long pants.
Oh, I flaunt my little legs.
Yeah.
You best believe I'm a tad bit bow legged Brady. You know what I mean? So I work it.
Yeah.
You know, I think I look pretty good. My wife has bigger legs than me. True story. So I balanced it out. I tell my kids all the time because they got great legs. I tell them all the time. I said, thank your mom for your legs, but thank me for everything else.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So there's that.
Which isn't the truth. Yeah, I mean, she gets everything, all credit. Yeah. Shouts out to you.
And listen, that is the thing when it's LeVar Arrington and myself and Brady Quinn here on Fox Sports Radio. The stuff you discover while we're on the air together. By the way, speaking of Discover, matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. So the Deshaun Watson.
Thanks, Discover!
The Deshaun Watson discussion that continues to take a strange turn. The league released a statement Tuesday saying there are no restrictions on Deshaun Watson while they review the allegations. So still, no commissioner's exempt list. Here we are. No clarity on the Deshaun Watson situation and still up in the air as to whether or not Deshaun Watson will be a quarterback, not only for the Houston Texans, but for the entirety of this season.
You want it first, Brady?
No, this is all you. You're the one that said he was the only team he's playing for this year is the Texans. So
I did say he was going to play for the Texans. All right. I'm just telling you guys, I'd be knowing things every once in a while. And like I said, if I'm wrong, then who cares, right?
We'll just take it out of the podcast.
Well, hold on. Do you actually still think that? Even though he reported, he literally said he's still looking to get traded. Like, he only reported so he wouldn't get fined.
Yeah, he's not. But I will say this. He's slowly gaining ground to get back to an opportunity to have a voice again. And what I mean by that, we alluded to this last week when the lawyer came out and made those odd comments about how his wife had him go to the spa and he didn't derobe to get his massage. We talked about the idea that this was an act of desperation. And since all of that has taken place, we've now heard that the NFL has indeed had an investigation that was open. I believe it was a lady that did interviews with multiple people that are in the lawsuits against Deshaun Watson. And after those interviews, it was determined that, you know, we're going to just wait and see how it plays out. But they didn't feel as though there was something there.
They better hope not, man. Yeah, this is going to look bad at the end if they find some stuff and they couldn't make the call.
And I want to be careful not to speak on the National Football League's behalf, but I'm just from a casual observer and just reading the articles and checking out what's taking place. Again, when you have a criminal situation versus a civil situation, those are vastly different circumstances. So if these were criminal charges that were brought against him, I think you got to wait, you know. And I think I'm assuming that this is the thought process. Do an interview with the victims, the alleged victims, and see what information you gather. Come up with a conclusion as to if the civil suits are strong enough in nature to put him on the commissioner's exempt
list. 10 of the cases are criminal suits, though.
Yeah, all I know is from what I know, last I read, there was one, but as the days are going by.
Yeah.
Okay, well, as the days were going by, I know cases are also getting dropped as well. Like maybe one or two has since withdrawn being a part of it. I think there's
24 as of right now, and there's 10 that are criminal, and I believe maybe the rest now are civil, or maybe, I mean, technically you could do both, but the threshold's higher for criminal.
It's definitely more serious for criminal.
Yeah, and usually it ends up being a because it's a criminal in nature, it ends up expediting the process of an investigation and of moving things forward. Civil suits can drag out for a long period of time, which is maybe one of the tactics of Tony Busby. Whatever the case may be, it still doesn't matter in regards to why the NFL has dragged their feet about this.
Well, that's
because,
fair.
Because if I was a past player, I mean, Laura, think about all the other guys who weren't convicted, mind you, were not convicted of anything.
But we're on the exempt list.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they were, and then granted, I know they're still paid while they're on the exempt list, but you lose some sponsorships, potential marketing money, all that too, and you don't have the chance to go out there and play and compete, which might hurt your team's chance of being in the playoffs, earning incentives, Pro Bowl, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So there's all those things, and that's what I would be upset about, is not having more clarity with the situation. And then if I was a past player, I'd be looking at the NFL being like, I'm trying to come up with a number that you owe me because you didn't give me the same benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I would assume that they're making the decision based off of the information that they've ascertained. That's all. I'm not a spokesperson. I will put some call-ins and see if I could get some more information on it from that side of it. But, I mean, I think that those are valid points that you make. I don't know how it all works. I don't know that any of us know the inner workings of how they've done this, and that's been a point of conversation for quite some time, is what does Goodell's responsibilities consist of? They've taken some of those responsibilities away from them. They've appointed to other people. Maybe the process has changed since then in terms of how they're going. I mean, certainly it would have to have if he's not being put on the commissioner's exempt list versus guys who have been in the past. So, you know, Jonas Brady, I don't really know why he's not been put on it, but it seems to me the feeling that I get, just my takeaway from it, is that they don't feel as though these are strong enough allegations to stick. But with that being said, I think you're right, Jonas. If you call this that and you're wrong, then how does that make the National Football League look if something truly did stick on Deshaun Watson?
It's going to look really bad. And there's actually another aspect to this from the Deshaun Watson side that's very interesting, the role that his lawyer is playing. This is Rusty Hardin, who is Deshaun Watson's defense attorney, came out earlier this week. And, you know, he was the one that claimed and said that there were 10 women that have filed complaints to the police. So they're 10 criminal complaints that have been filed from these different women.
A complaint filed is not a charge. Are they just complaints that are filed, or are there have the charges been brought against them? Because I think that there are technicalities that also will play a part in if he's on the commissioner's exempt list. If they are solidified criminal charges,
like arraigned and arrested. Yeah, I mean, that would be different.
He might not be arrested or arraigned off of it, but the process is now underway in terms of this is now being acknowledged as a criminal situation. Fouling is, I've never had charges brought against me on anything, just so we're clear on this. I'm not saying this because I'm an expert, because it's happened to me. Give a disclaimer on that. But fouling is vastly different than if the charges have been brought against him. He has not been charged with anything. It is what it sounds like you're reading. But go ahead, Jonas.
Yeah, well, but the point is, when Rusty Hardin says that, and he, you know, throws that out there earlier this week, and, you know, still there's not a move that's made, and then he comes out and says the following, quote, teams are ready to jump now if the Texans would trade with them, even while all this is pending. There's no question that numerous teams are still interested. The ball is in the Texans' court. Mm-hmm. That's his lawyer. What am I missing here? Why is he the messenger for what they're going to do personnel wise when it comes to,
I bet you his agent is scared to death to say anything about.
Doesn't that further make you think that he's like all this is a, I don't want to say a misunderstanding, because there's a lot of misunderstandings. Then it's like, you know, one of them might not be a misunderstanding or two. I mean, again, I'm not trying to make however many. But I think maybe it paints a picture of like, look, there's other teams who have investigated this. They've been in the loop and they're still willing to trade for him. And so maybe it's not what it's being portrayed to be in the media. Maybe that's more of his thought process behind it, because I'm with you. I'm not really sure why, you know, it'd be his attorney coming out and saying it. Tony Busby, both sides have been a little bit weird this entire time. It hasn't been as big of a story, I think, because I think the NFL wants it to go away to some degree.
Is he going to be out there practicing with this team? Like, they're going to.
Yes.
It's so weird, man. So there's, to LeVar's point, like, maybe they had a conversation. Maybe they've looked into all this and they haven't seen enough to warrant, you know, punishing or putting him on the exempt list. But still, as Brady mentioned it, there's been other examples to where, just in case, you know, we don't want to have a Ray Rice situation where they suspend him 2 games, then all of a sudden TMZ drops the video from the elevator on everybody's lap in the morning time. Oh, my God.
They had to move.
Completely changed everything. That changed the entire conversation. I think wasn't it shortly after, it was the Adrian Peterson stuff that came out?
With his kids.
Yeah, with his kid. And so the NFL had back-to-back terrible PR hits. Why would you take the chance that one of these 24 cases that come out are bad enough that it looks like you're not doing your due diligence to want to, you know, give a good representation of the league? Why even take the chance? Like, that's the part that's so weird about all this, and it just makes me wonder, is there something else behind the scenes that the NFL is concerned about?
So here's a quote. It says, as we continue to gather additional information and monitor law enforcement developments, we will make appropriate decisions consistent with the collective bargaining agreement and the personal conduct policy. So apparently, based upon that quote, my interpretation of that would be, so far, there is nothing within their investigations of their interviews with the plaintiffs that they've had an opportunity to investigate or interview. There is nothing that has given them the green light on saying it is a collective bargaining agreement, you know, deal, or it's a personal conduct deal where they need to take action against Deshaun Watson at this moment in time. That's what it sounds like. I could be wrong, but that's what it sounds like.
What about Zeke then? What about Adrian Peterson? There's a lot of other examples of guys who, again, it was one specific incident or maybe a couple, but it wasn't to the magnitude of this, and they were still suspended. And I kind of look at it and think they've already set a precedent for themselves, because they put themselves in this position. And then now you look at it and go, well, they haven't decided to do anything with this. And so it seems like it's hypocritical, considering what they've done in the past and how they're handling it now in the future. And I hate to admit it, but I feel like if you looked at our society and what was a hot button topic then and what is now, it's almost like they've kind of moved on from that being a central focus. And maybe that sounds controversial, but I do feel like, you know, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, we're having a different story about this.
LeVar, I threw this out, just a hypothetical. If the Texans were the team on Hard Knocks, is he on the commissioner's exempt list? Because I bet he is. Because they don't want.
I don't think the NFL allows that to happen. With everything that's going on in Houston, I don't think that's
purely hypothetical. If he were the Cowboys quarterback, same situation, and they were going on Hard Knocks, what do you want to bet he's put on the exempt list? Because they don't want that.
You're asking me to give an answer to something that the NFL would never allow to happen.
I know. I'm just saying.
So if I'm saying hypothetically, if this were to happen and if it were to play out, they would make sure, I would assume, and this is me putting on my corporate hat, my executive hat, Brady, I would assume that all storylines and all episode plots have to be approved and manufactured and edited and clipped and created where it is not intrusive or any type of damaging content that would be released.
That's true. Because
NFL has the last right of refusal for how they produce that. So they make the say in the final cuts. Obviously, HBO has to edit it and produce it so there's storylines, but the NFL still picks and chooses what's allowed and what's not allowed.
Which makes you wonder if there's some sort of unreleased footage of Rex Ryan's foot fetish that we didn't get to see. You know, I'm just saying, like, I'm simply talking about the things that are hot topics amongst people.
Or Brett Favre's text messages.
That is, is a good point. That is a very good point. He's just showing his watch. I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought it was his Crocs.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you know? All right. Come on, what are you getting at?
They were silver in color. That's all I remember.
All right. It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. That guy's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox.
They say you can wear silver on television, by the way.
Oh, that is true. that is a good point. Boogie Nights 2, correct?
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Right. Here we go.
Shiny silver, by the way.
Up next, we are going to get into decisions made by a couple of teams, one of which very, very interesting, that could change the future of football. We'll have that for you next here. Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Brady's been doing that all morning. If you didn't know,
fireworks.
He's been dropping bombs on me all morning.
Fireworks.
He came in hot today.
Yeah.
I was excited to have you on the show, man. We haven't had it.
I
don't know what happened yesterday.
I don't know, but I was going to come on. I promise. I was here. It was one of those things. The coffee machine didn't work, so I went home. That's a true story. I tried to get my coffee.
You don't want that coffee anyways.
Yeah, man.
I get one every time I come in.
Yeah, well, don't. I wouldn't. That's the worst coffee I've
ever. I go hard on that nasty coffee.
Let me tell you something.
I just need the fuel.
Frank Pollock, the late, great Frank Pollock, and I, we were working early mornings here. We brought in our own coffee and coffee maker, like a little $15 thing from Target, and made our own coffee every morning because we just didn't trust the apparatus back there.
Oh, you don't trust it.
Yeah, just didn't trust it. You know,
I just come from a very different place. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to drink that coffee. You know why? Because I'm real.
See, but I need brewed coffee.
look. But Brady, like St. Pierre, I'm scared to death now. Like, on the inside, I'm shaking. Like, oh, my gosh, am I poisoned? But on the surface, I'm going to tell y'all, yo, I keeps it real, son. That's why I drink the coffee the way that I do. I like it like I do, like it's strong, like me.
See, but I don't want the Keurig. I want the old
school
drip.
I gave y'all an easy layup there.
I want the drip coffee. You know what I'm saying? The old school.
Do you like my Hydro Flask?
I do like your Hydro Flask.
Starting to get inside jokes now, too. Yeah, you know what I mean? I love my Hydro Flask.
Sure you do.
Especially when it's mine.
Mind your own stall, buddy. All right, it is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up a little over.
Hit the dump button, Roberto. Dump button.
Oh, my gosh.
A little over 10 minutes from now, we are going to get back into what the future could look like for a potential Super Bowl champion. That'll be happening here in about 10 minutes from now on FSR. So the rumor that was out there in the world of college football, I think you guys know a thing or two about college football, LeVar Arrington and Brady
Quinn. Our stronghold. Let's be clear on that.
So Oklahoma and Texas, they officially put in their SEC membership request yesterday. And From my understanding, there's going to be a vote on Thursday by the SEC. They are expected to approve it.
Of course they are.
Everybody except for Texas A&M. Texas A&M probably not the biggest fans of this here move. But Oklahoma and Texas are officially putting in the request to join the SEC, Brady. And it appears like this is going to get done. Like the Oklahoma Sooners, a team that Fox has covered many a times. Texas, a team that Fox has covered many a times, is on their way to the SEC. So there's that. There's that, Brady.
You and I have talked about this for 2 days now.
Like, I'm just saying, you know.
I want to hear what LeVar thinks about this, because I haven't got a chance to have him weigh in on it. I'm curious to see where he sees this all really standing for college football, because I've given my take, man. Like, I'm not sure what this is going to look like 2 years from now.
I mean, Oklahoma's pissed at Fox.
Regular seasons are what, 11 games, 12 games?
12 games.
12 games.
For now, there'll be 20 in about 2 years.
Let's be clear here. They're going to have to start increasing the volume of games. And then now you got to assume that out-of-conference games will only be games against conferences that are in line with what's taking place right now. The landscape of college football is changing. It's going to change very, very rapidly now that this NIL rule has come out. There's going to be more rules, I'm assuming, that follow that are just going to continue to make it a easier sale for these conferences to get bigger schools to come in and be a part of what they have going on. I continue to say, I believe the Big Ten and the SEC are positioned to become the dominant conferences in college football and rendering all other conferences, you know, obsolete. I really believe that. I think that we'll get to a point of where the Big Ten will be like the AFC, the SEC will be like the NFC, and you'll have different divisions within the conferences, and that's how you're going to figure out scheduling. I believe that the NCAA, the national polls, all the awards that are out there, everybody's going to have to fall in line with everything coming from those two super conferences, and it will eventually I don't know what it means for the rest of college football and teams like a Marshall or a Youngstown or, you know, those types of schools, a Cincinnati. I don't know what it means for them moving forward, but I got to tell you, it's not good. It's not good.
No, I mean, you're seeing a clear divide in college football between the biggest brands and the blue bloods and then kind of everyone else. And last year, I think, forced a lot of schools to start looking at themselves and saying what's best for us, as we probably did as people. Like, a lot of people, when COVID hit, they weren't sure what to think. What did you start doing? You started going out and hoarding as much toilet paper and essential supplies as you could, and potentially leaving someone out with any toilet paper.
Help.
Like, that's what you did.
Help thy
people
neighbor.
People were fighting.
Help
all
thy
people
neighbor.
Were fighting
over bottled
paper.
Water, toilet paper. Yeah. I mean, there was no paper towels. You couldn't find Clorox wipes. Like, what did we do as a society?
Help
last
thy neighbor.
Year?
Kiss my ass. Yeah. I need the last Kleenex.
Go ahead. You were stomping over people to get toilet paper.
People were getting straps pulled on
it's
them. Give me the toilet paper, bitch.
So what's happening in college football? We've got these schools that basically look around and go, man, I don't want to go through that again. Mm. You know, I don't have to run another deficit and all that. So I'm looking for greener pastures. I'm looking for a safe harbor, safe place where I can make money. And with NIL, as you pointed out, LeVar, coming out, I want to go where there's the most access to capital and revenue and money that I can to ensure that we'll be the best, or at least we'll be able to make as much as we can make. Because Texas, even not having success in the Big 12,
still makes a
was
ton
still
of money.
Making money.
Yeah,
still making money. So this is all about money. It's all about self-preservation. Whether or not it's good for college football, I don't know, man. We're going to see how this thing sorts itself out in a couple of
years.
And
the players are going to follow suit. That's the thing about it. Yep. All the players are going to go into those two conferences.
It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and you. Hour 3, more in the NFL next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.